mentioned that we're celebrating Children's Day here at the church. Children are very special. In the kingdom of God, they're very special. Lots of times the focus is on adults and older kids that making a decision for Christ and ministry and all of these kinds of things. And people don't realize how important the children's ministries are because of the effect that it has on these little ones. But it is profound. A lot of the recollections I have of sometimes the way Bible stories were presented and some of the basic ideas about God, I formed a lot of those in the children's ministries of the church when I was growing up. And so children are important in God's sight. We're going to talk about that today. I want to speak on this subject, Jesus, friend of children. Several years ago, they asked some children, these were young kids, I guess around the age of 10 and under, some questions. You know, it's interesting to get a child's perspective on things. We see things a certain way as adults. Children don't necessarily see them the same way we see them. And so they asked some children, a group of children, some ideas on the subject of marriage. How do they perceive marriage? And these questions had to do with that. And I thought I'd share a few of them with you because I think it'll highlight the difference between how adults think and how children think on some of these things. The question was given. In fact, this actually was written down by a child, a little guy named Alan. He was age 10. He wrote down, the question was, how do you decide who to marry? And this is what Alan said. He says, you got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like, if you like sports, she would like it that you like sports. And she would keep the chips and dip coming. Someone else wrote, Kristen wrote, no person really decides before they grew up who they're going to marry. God decides it all the way before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with. Camille wrote, on the question was given, what is the right age to get married? And little Camille wrote, well, 23 is the best age because you know the person forever by then. Question, how can a stranger tell if two people are married? And Derek wrote, you might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. What do you think your mom and dad have in common? Little Lori wrote, both don't want any more kids. The question, what do most people do on a date? Lynette said, well, dates are for having fun, and people should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. Martin wrote concerning this question, what to do on a date. On the first date, they just tell each other lies, and that usually gets them interested enough to go for a second date. Somehow I think there's a little wisdom in some of these things. The question was asked, what would you do on a first date that was turning sour? And Craig, age 9, he wrote this. He said, I'd run home and play dead. The next day, I would call all the newspapers and make sure they wrote about me in all the dead columns. Question was asked, when is it okay to kiss someone? And Pam, she's age 7, she said, when they're rich. Kurt said, well, the law says you have to be 18, so I wouldn't want to mess with that. And again, Howard, he's aged 8, on the question, when is it okay to kiss someone? He said, well, the rule goes like this. If you kiss someone, then you should marry them and have kids with them. It's the right thing to do. Is it better to be single or married? Was the question. And Anita said, well, it's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. Question, how would the world be different if people didn't get married? Kelvin, he's aged 8, he wrote, "There sure would be a lot of kids to explain, wouldn't there?" And then Ricky, aged 10, when asked the question, "How would you make a marriage work?" he said, "Tell your wife that she looks pretty, even if she looks like a dump truck." Well, kids have a way of looking at life and analyzing things, and they have their own ideas about how things are, or at least how they should be, in their own little minds. Children are really a gift that God has given us. We don't always regard them as such, but I just want to briefly just share with you three passages we find in Scripture when Jesus speaking on the subject of children. You don't find an awful lot of information. There are incidences in Scripture talking about children and where children are involved. But you do, in the New Testament, there are some passages where Jesus specifically points to children and uses the subject of children to bring forth a point. And the first thing I would say this is that we find that Jesus defended children. If ever there were a need for children to be defended, it is today. Several years ago, they had the Year of the Child. I remember when they first proclaimed it, and the emphasis of the world was focused on children. And since that time, we've seen a lot of laws that have been enacted, and we've seen the emphasis on children in various parts of our society. But in many parts of the world, it's not the case. You don't find that the measures that have been taken even here in the United States are the same in other places. And even though they have the Year of the Child and they have some of these efforts that they've put forth for the protection of children, children still need to be defended. And Jesus did that in Matthew, the 19th chapter and the 13th verse. Beginning to read in this passage, he says this. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. And I thought that's interesting. Disciples are those men that were closest to Christ. They were closest to him in his ministry. Isn't it interesting what they thought was appropriate? Perhaps what they thought would be the attitude of Christ. Perhaps they thought the children would be annoying. Not that children are ever annoying, of course, but maybe they thought that this would have been somehow a distraction to the master, because Jesus was used to speaking to crowds. He was used to speaking to other adults. Now, there would be family groups present, and there would be children undoubtedly running around and being there in the area where Christ was. But to actually have parents bring children to Christ for a special blessing and that he might lay his hands on them, this was something that the disciples, they deemed it was unnecessary and might well have been something that Christ would not have wanted. But notice Jesus says in verse 14 of that 19th chapter in Matthew, "But Jesus said, 'Let the children alone, do not hinder them from coming to me. Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.'" An interesting statement. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And we're talking about children. We're not talking about individuals who were highly educated in the law, in religious law, and in religious thought. We're talking about the weakest of society, the little ones, the ones that many times and oftentimes are defenseless. And Jesus came to their defense and he said, "Listen, don't hinder them from coming to me." One of the great tasks of the church is to reach out to children, to those that sometimes are overlooked and those that need a defense. And we have those children's ministries here, as we've highlighted some of them here today in this service, to minister to children. Because why do we do it? Because Christ honors the child and says it's important not to hinder them or keep them from coming to him. Why is it important for God to be in society, and why is it important for him to be in our schools? You take God out of the schools, and what you're doing is you're hindering children from hearing the gospel message. What a tragedy, because the heart of God is that children might come to know Him at a young age. What a great investment and what a wonderful thing it is for a child to come to know Christ, because then they have a lifetime that they can dedicate to service of the Lord. It's great for adults to come to the Lord, but think of the wasted years. Some of you perhaps sitting here today, you can think back when you came to the Lord. If you did not come to Christ in your early years, in your youthful years, but you came to Him later in life, and you can think back and maybe even wistfully have thought what your life might have been had you known the Lord at an earlier age. Think of the heartache that you would have been spared. Think of the tragedies in many cases that you might have been spared had you known the Lord at an earlier age. So Jesus comes to the defense of these children and He says to His disciples, don't you keep them from coming to Me. And then He goes beyond that. It wasn't just a matter of allowing them to come to receive a blessing from the Lord. He goes on to say this, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And He's pointing at the children, looking to the children. But the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then it says, and after laying His hands on them, He departed from there, and He had the children come and gave them a blessing. It used to be said, perhaps you've heard it, maybe you've even said it, children are to be seen and not heard. That used to be a fairly well-known phrase. I recall growing up, and I've heard adults say that. Usually when I was acting up or someone was acting up, you'd hear that, hey, you know, children are to be seen and not heard. And you got this idea it was okay to go with mom and dad different places where there were a lot of adults. Just don't say anything. How often were we told that? Just keep quiet now. Behave yourself. And behave yourself was defined like this. Just don't say anything. We don't want you cutting up. We don't want you to be joking around. We don't want any noise out of you. We're going, so now just be on your best behavior. That usually meant don't say anything and keep quiet. You're to be seen and not heard. Well, things have changed a little bit in today's society. There are a lot of kids who are seen, they're not only seen, and many of them are heard. And, you know, some of you might wish that you were going back to that old adage and saying maybe we ought to enforce that because of some of the things you've witnessed in public life. Coming from children. But it's interesting, that certainly wasn't the attitude of Christ on this occasion. The disciples didn't want the children to bother Christ. They saw His ministry as being for adults and not children. And we know that the universal call to come to Christ is a call that is for children as well as adults. The disciples saw Christ's ministry as just being for adults and not children. Many places throughout the world, children are neglected and abused, and they need a defender. Some of you may have become aware of the various tribal conflicts that there are in some parts of the world, where there are different factions within a country, and oftentimes there are these different armed groups and that are fighting each other. There's a lot of bloodshed, and to get new recruits, oftentimes we're told they'll go into some of these villages and they'll just take children, young children, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they'll take them away from their parents, and the parents have little that they can do. They're not able to defend themselves, and they'll immediately get them involved in guerrilla warfare tactics. And one of the tragic pictures you see is some little kid, 6 or 7 years old, and here's this gun slung around his shoulder, and he's standing there, and he's given a command to shoot on sight or to participate in some of these atrocities we see taking place. Little children that are being abused in that way and taken. They've had their childhood robbed, taken away from them. They're brought into an adult world, into adult conflict, and they never will really know all the joy of youthful life, growing up in a safe environment. And so we tragically see these pictures. And we're not talking about a few. We're talking about hundreds and even thousands, in many cases, of young kids that are being taken from their homes, away from their homes, and are being used in this way. They're being abused. They're being neglected. They need a defender is what they need, someone that will defend them. Jesus is the one who can be that defender. And we think of children as victims of human trafficking. And this is a real problem. It's a growing problem. And some of you know that I have some missionary friends. One of my dear missionary friends has just recently gotten involved in this issue. It has been appointed to deal with the issue of human trafficking. And he's ministering in that area, a very sensitive area. It's a very dangerous area. And he was telling me some of the things. He said, it's unbelievable what is going on. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse. As he was telling me some of the statistics of how many thousands upon thousands of... we think of it oftentimes as sex slave trade as being mostly adults. And he said, it's unbelievable all the children that are being involved in this. He said, it'll just break your heart. It's pitiful. These young kids that are being abused and being forced into slavery of one sort or another, they need a defender. And Jesus can be their defender. Jesus defended the children. God has a tender heart towards children. Some of you young people here today, you may not have come out of the best of circumstances. God saw you where you were, and you're here today because God loves you. God has drawn you to this place, and the love of God has reached out to you, and you're here because God cares. And He wants to be your defender so that you're not put in difficult situations where you feel like there's nobody that can help you. You'll always be able to look heavenward and say, but I have a heavenly Father, and He cares about me, and I felt His love, and I know that even though I'm in difficult circumstances, there's a God who cares, and He's going to help me, and He's going to be my defender. God cares about kids. Jesus defended them. Then you turn over to Matthew 18, the 18th chapter. The beginning of that chapter, and we see another principle here. Not only did Jesus defend children as He did on this occasion, but He welcomed them. And the 18th chapter, and beginning with the first verse, says, at the time the disciples came, saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And He called a child to Himself. He set him before them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Not only is Jesus the defender of children, but He is the one who welcomes them. As I mentioned earlier in that passage, when Jesus used the children in that moment and he said of them, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as thee. He takes it another step and he says here in that 18th chapter, he says that you cannot even enter the kingdom of heaven unless you become like one of these children. Now, some would say that's kind of a strange thing because we think of adulthood that you have more understanding, you have more prominence, you have more stature the more you learn. And there are so many people that put their confidence in what they know or what they have learned. And if you're not a person who is highly educated, they may even look down on you. In fact, we live in that kind of a world today. There are some people that say, hey, there are certain ones that they're not worthy of being elected to high office if they don't have a great education behind them. And they'll look down perhaps other candidates. And that's kind of the attitude that it's what you've achieved. That's what your value, that's what your worth is determined. It's determined by what you have achieved. And so the emphasis is on oftentimes what can be achieved through young men and women and adults in society. And here Jesus turns this around. He says, listen, when you get into the kingdom of God, it's not really based upon what you have attained, what you have accomplished, all of the credits that are behind your name, that's not what it's about. How can the kingdom of heaven, of all things, the greatest thing to ever achieve is eternal life and to be a member of God's heaven, to be there in the kingdom of heaven, and then for Jesus to say this, that unless you're converted, you become like children. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Part of the problem of the world today is that there's such a degree of vanity that there are people find it hard to humble themselves. Humility is not an easy thing to come by, because people, they define humility, they think that's a sign of weakness oftentimes, and they think it's a sign of defeat, and they don't want to be seen as being weak. They don't want to be seen as being one who's been defeated. And they don't realize that one of the greatest attributes that God honors and that Christ honors is that of humility in the life of an individual. To be humble. What humbler situation is there but to see a child and he doesn't have much to offer as far as prominence as with respect to education or possessions or anything, and yet Jesus says, you can't even get into the kingdom of heaven unless you become like children. And then he talks about humility. You've got to humble yourself as this child. He is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, the one who can humble himself. And then if you receive one such child in my name, then you receive me. Some of you have worked with children. And there are some folks, I heard it said once of a person, they were looking back over their life, they said, well, you know, I never really was able to. At one time, I thought I was going to go into the ministry, and I couldn't do that. I couldn't go. And all I did was I wound up getting involved in a local church, and I was a teacher, but then I didn't even teach adults. All I did was teach kids for most of my life, and kind of, in a way, lamenting that fact. And I was thinking to myself, listen, that's one of the greatest ministries is to children. Because you have an opportunity to help shape that little life. You can help give that child an idea of who God is and what he's like. And your kindness and your patience and the way you minister to that child. You're investing in that life that'll pay off rich dividends later on. It's one of the great callings is to children's ministry. And there's no greater audience to have than children. They get excited about almost anything. You want to see excitement. The amazing thing is we can't draw oftentimes an adult crowd like we can a crowd of kids. You plan things and you announce it and you want the adults and it's for adults, and yet it's hard sometimes for folks to come out and to get involved. But you start planning stuff for kids and you watch. I mean, you can fill a place up and they just get excited. There's just something special about that. Jesus says we ought to have that kind of an attitude in us of humility as a child. Use that child to illustrate how we can enter the kingdom of heaven. Several things could be said about this. First of all, some things about a child. Childlike faith. You know, childlike faith is the ability to believe the impossible. We were talking about superheroes here, you know, this morning and a little bit in that song that was sung by the kids. The idea of a superhero. Kids can believe the impossible. They don't have any problem with the impossible. What we see as being impossible, oftentimes kids don't have any problem with that, because in their little minds, they can see it. They can see it. See? So perhaps one of the things Christ is pointing to is childlike faith. Just to have childlike faith to believe in the impossible. How about childlike dependence? As a child is dependent, they need someone to care for them. We need to realize too that we need someone to care for us. We don't have all the answers. We are dependent. We're dependent on each other. We're dependent on others to come and minister to us at times of need. Not only childlike faith or childlike dependence, how about childlike trust? Childlike trust. It's unashamed belief. Unashamed belief. A little child. When they're hurt and when they're abused, when they're neglected, then all of a sudden those walls of resistance build up. But you take a little child in those formative stages, that trust develops between themselves and the caregiver, whether it's, you know, their parents, the mom and the dad, or it might be the grandparents or others. There's trust that is there. And we need to have childlike trust in our Heavenly Father, you know, become like children. How about, in addition to that, childlike hope? Childlike hope. Just like a child can have faith to believe the impossible, they can dream big dreams. Children have the ability to dream big dreams. Just talk to them sometime about what really they're interested in. And it's always the biggest and the most, the fastest. And they're dreaming big dreams. What happens to that as we get older? The enemy comes and he camps on your doorstep and you feel the pressure of life. And then what happened to the big dreams that you had at one time? And so many later in life, they look back rather wistfully, wishing that they could have seen their life turn out differently. And for some, they gave up on those big dreams they had early in life. Do you know that we have a Heavenly Father who will allow us to dream big dreams and have that kind of faith that will look beyond our circumstances? Perhaps God wants some of us to return back to that kind of childlike faith, that kind of childlike experience, to have childlike hope that can believe in great things in spite of what we see. Not only did Jesus defend the children on occasion, and he welcomed children, but also Jesus protected them. If you go on in that chapter, in the 18th chapter of Matthew, it says with verse 6 and following, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea." That is a warning when it comes to those who would harm these little ones who believe in the Lord, especially those who put their confidence in Christ, in God, these precious little souls, to harm such a one. What a tragedy it is when you hear some of the stories of child abuse and what has been done to children. There is a day of reckoning that God will have for those who have unfairly and unjustly treated the little ones. Matthew 18:10 goes on to say this, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." We have this idea of guardian angels. You might have heard of it. People talking about their guardian angel, and I'm not sure how it all works. Some believe that God has given everybody a guardian angel. That may be. I'm not here to get involved in angelology today. But it's interesting that Jesus referred to this, that they're angels in heaven. That God has given the angels of heaven charge over some of these little ones to come to their defense. So there are times when mom and dad aren't around. There are times when perhaps there's no helping hand around. And yet the angels of the Lord are there. And they have a special ministry to children to assist them in time of need. You know, the church should be a haven for the neglected and the abused of the world. And especially when it comes to children, for these little ones who are defenseless in so many ways, this ought to be a haven. This ought to be a place where they can come and they can feel safe and they can feel the security of the Lord in this place. And their little hearts and minds can be fed the Word of God and they can grow in the love of Christ. That's what this place ought to be. There is a God in heaven who is keeping a record of all that happens. And so it says the warning is for those who would abuse those little ones. But oh, there's reward for those who minister to them. Children. Jesus. If ever there were a friend of children, it is Jesus. If ever we should have a high regard for those little ones that he has entrusted to our care, it is today. In this world, with all that is out there that could undermine and could harm these precious little souls, God grant that we as his people, the people of God, understand the value of these children that Christ has placed under our care. Jesus, friend of children. This morning I would ask you, perhaps there have been times when you've been called upon to give a hand, to help out in some children's ministry. I've actually had some folk tell me from time to time in my years of ministry, especially when you're in pioneer work or pastoring a church that's fairly small and you rely on everybody to kind of shoulder the load a little bit. And when there's been a need and we're looking around and trying to find somebody and to help out. Because when you have a Sunday school especially, or when you're ministering to children, there's always something to do. And And so you pray about it, and you think of one or two individuals, then you go to them. And I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, you know, I don't really have a ministry to children. My ministry is more for this or for that. Or I can help out with the men's group, or I can help out with the ladies' group, or I can help out with the teens. But I just don't feel called. You know, sometimes I don't think you have to feel a call. There are some things you need to be called about when you're talking about lifetime ministry. But there are some times when the need is there, you just need to respond to the need. And I've had people that have told me, well, Pastor, let me pray about it and I'll get back to you. And guess what? I'm still waiting for them to get back to me. I'm not talking necessarily about this church either. It's in previous churches I've pastored. Because some people have that attitude. Well, I'm not confident. You see the need. And listen, when it comes to children especially, we ought to see the value that God places on these little lives. We ought to understand what it means for a child to be in a safe atmosphere, in a God-loving atmosphere, under the tutelage of men and women of God that will care about them, that will see to their spiritual welfare. God help us to see that need. And it's not a matter of necessarily, well, I'm called to this or called to this children. No, I just see the need is there. You know what? I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to do something. I want to do something to help. One of the things I have appreciated about this church and some of our children's ministries is that when we ask for volunteers, we've had, especially on special events, big events, we've had helpers come out and help us. And you don't know how much that means to your pastor and others here to know that there are those of you who don't spend perhaps a lot of time around children. Maybe some of you, your kids are growing up and they're out of the house, but you see the importance of that ministry and you're willing to roll up your sleeves and get involved in ministry to children. Most important thing is not that your pastor appreciates it, but the most important thing is that God is keeping the record and he sees your concern and he sees your willingness to serve. And I believe God blesses those who bless his kingdom in these ways. Jesus, the friend of children. I think he set the example for all of us. That ought to be, when it comes to children, how we see ourselves. We ought to be their friend. We ought to be their mentor. We ought to be the ones that bring them to a place where they'll understand what it means to be saved. We ought to be Christ to the world in the sense that they see his presence in us. And the little children ought to experience the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. May he grant that kind of blessing that comes to those who are faithful in his service, especially in his service to the children of the world. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Lord God, we think sometimes of what our responsibility is as Christians, as adult Christians, and we get involved in a lot of things that we feel are appropriate for us. And I pray that it will never be said that in this church we've had ministries that have gone by without anyone responding because nobody saw themselves as being either called to that ministry or interested in ministry to children. Lord, you have blessed our lives with these precious souls. And Jesus, you set the example. And I am so thankful that there are those who have responded, knowing that ministry to children, it's not just a waste of time, it's not fruitless, but there are decisions that are being made in those little hearts. And for some of them, they're going to reap great dividends in years ahead because they're going to follow through. You have touched the hearts of the little ones through the faithfulness of your servants as they have responded to the call to minister to these young ones. And I pray this morning, oh God, may we never lose that sense of urgency. For those who are neglected, for those who are abused in the world, oh God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come in waves of revival over individual churches such as ours. May this not be the only church, but may there be churches in our community and throughout the world that will raise the standard and see the importance of ministering to these children of the world, many of whom are being neglected, many of whom are suffering. Oh God, we pray that your divine hand of mercy and your divine hand of strength may enable those who are involved in this kind of a ministry, help them, Lord, to achieve great things for the cause of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I trust that you'll be praying for the ministry of the church, and as we've highlighted children's ministries today, and you'll get involved. One thing that's disappointing sometimes is to have a sign-up sheet and to check it from time to time and find one name on it, two names, and secretary has made maybe 20 slots there, you know, and got one or two that have volunteered. I hope that that's not going to be the case. I hope that we're going to see many of you participate and help us out in what we're trying to do. We are consider ourselves a family in Christ here, and I appreciate the efforts of those of you who are helping us, and we can always use more volunteers. I mentioned in the past that we do have some ministries that need additional help. And we're hoping that God will raise up somebody. Somebody will say, you know, it's not a matter of whether I feel a call to this or that, but the need's there. I'm willing to help. And count me in. I want to help. And if you will respond that way as some of these needs are presented, I believe God will bless you for it. Would you stand with me as we prepare to adjourn? This is the Lord's Day. And he has given us a beautiful day to honor him. I trust you'll remember the announcements concerning the activities of this evening. Don't miss out on the seminar. It's been great. The information is good. I think you'll find it worthwhile. And make sure your children, your grandkids are plugged into the children's ministries here on Sunday evening. Lord, we do thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. As we prepare to leave this place today, we ask that your Holy Spirit would motivate us. Give us, Lord, insight into ways in which we can be involved in what you are doing. We ask that you would bless each person here. I ask, dear God, for the families that are represented here. May you be present. May your Holy Spirit be present in each one of the families that are represented here this morning. God, during the week, when we're not in an atmosphere like this, where we can sense your presence and the moving of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would be with each individual in those homes where they are. And I pray that you would be blessing your people throughout the week, that we might gather together on this next Lord's Day, again rejoicing in the victories that we have experienced in our lives as you have moved on behalf of your people. I now ask your blessing upon each one as we leave this place. May we go in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day.
On my own. Now that I am seen.